If you'd like to turn to Philippians with me, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 through 30. Philippians chapter 1, 27 through 30. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of this gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.
Thank you, Wyman. This morning we began our study in the book of James, and one of the things that we were wanting to emphasize both in our sermon time and during our class time was that we hope and pray that this will be more than just an academic intellectual exercise as we work through the various chapters in the book of James. We want to do more than that. We want to take James at his word. Specifically what he had to say in chapter 1 and verse 22 when he said, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." I was encouraged this morning by the response of many to our classes and to our sermon time, and I think that there is a genuine desire among the majority of this congregation to live out the imperatives that are found in the book of James. But I want to give a word of warning before we do this. And this morning I mentioned that we need to be aware of what will happen anytime we commit ourselves to a rigorous time of growth and moving toward maturity in Christ. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus warned his followers to count the cost. And so I think we all need to pay attention to the warning label that is attached to Christian living. Anyone who is serious about their walk with Jesus Christ can expect persecution. We went up several weeks ago with a group of the young folks to Six Flags, and they have warnings on the different rides there. And a number of years ago, I had ridden on the new roller coaster then called the Boss. It's a big wooden roller coaster, and I love all the rides. And so Vicki and I were going to get on the ride this time, and we saw the sign, and it said, "Please remove all articles, loose articles of clothing, glasses." But I remembered having ridden that before and thinking that it wasn't really all that bad. And so we got up near the front, and I fought Dwight for the front car, and he won, so we were behind Dwight. And I just put my ball cap on backwards and had my sunglasses on, and off we went. And I don't know if I just didn't remember or if that thing has gotten older and more rickety, but that almost shook the fillings out of our teeth. And Vicki and I were holding on for dear life, and it was shaking me so violently that my glasses were just bouncing on my face, and they started to come off. And so I grabbed my sunglasses with one hand, and about that time the wind started to take my cap, and I grabbed my cap with the other, and I didn't have anything to hold on with. And so I just sort of leaned down in the car, and Vicki and I were like two ping pong balls, just our heads bouncing off each other, and her glasses came off. And when we got off the ride, I mean, I'm sure we're a sight. And all Kendall Klein could say is, "Did you see Joe? He slobbered all over his shirt." Now, I say all that to simply say this. We need to take warning signs seriously. James begins by talking about the trials and the struggles that all who will live for Jesus Christ will experience. And we need to seriously understand that if we are going to step out in faith and if we are going to try to grow to a new level as Christians, we can expect and should expect there to be some trials along the way. So tonight I want to talk to you just briefly about those very real expectations of struggles and trials. First of all, let me just talk about the general nature of struggles and trials that we all face. There are basically three kinds of trials that all of us will face as we move through life. The first one is self-inflicted trials. These are the kind that are optional. These are only voluntary trials. You don't have to go through these, but if you choose to go through the school of hard knocks, you will go through self-inflicted trials. It's been said that if you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. If you live like the prodigal, you will end up in the pig pen. The scripture puts it like this: sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. You know, this kind of suffering is brought upon ourselves through immoral lifestyles, through poor choices that we make, and we end up suffering consequently. Now, there's not much redemptive value in that kind of suffering. In fact, the only real thing good that can come out of that is that your life can be an example of how not to live. Now, I don't want my life to serve as a warning sign of how not to live. Well, that's self-inflicted suffering. There's a second kind, and that's what I would call accidental suffering. This is when you suffer from some illness that you have no control over. When a tornado hits your house, when your employer decides to downsize. And we all experience to varying degrees these kinds of trials and suffering through life. It's not because you were immoral. It's not because you were foolish in any of your decisions. It's just part of life. And occasionally you'll have some bad things happen to you, even when you're trying to live a good life. Now, again, there is nothing very meritorious about this kind of suffering. But there is one caveat in this kind of suffering for the Christian, and that is this becomes a real opportunity for the Christian in the midst of these kinds of trials and struggles to glorify God. And this is done in two ways. It's done by our attitude, and it's done by demonstrating our trust in God through these trials. Now, that can be an encouragement to others, and it's an encouragement to ourselves. It's the same kind of situation that we read of in the book of Job. Job was a victim of accidental trials. I mean, a storm came through and killed his children. He came down with an illness that was not a self-induced illness. He had all these tragedies that befell him. And in all of that, his attitude, even though he struggled, was summed up really in those beautiful words: the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He refused to curse God through all of his suffering. In spite of his friends and their discouraging advice and their misunderstanding of his problems, Job maintained his faith. Now, he did question God, and he didn't understand why this was happening, but he never abandoned faith in God. So his trust in God, his dependence upon God, was an example to all of how to deal with these kinds of accidental trials that will come our way. Now, there's a third kind of suffering, and that's the kind that I think we can all anticipate as we move through James if we seriously begin to move in this area of perfection. And that is suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now, this kind of suffering is a glorious thing in the eyes of God. It's when we tell the truth even when the truth hurts us. It's when we're honest even when it costs us financially to be honest. It's when we're patient and when we bite our tongue simply because we are a Christian and we know that that's the way we ought to act. It's putting up with the condescension of others who don't share our Christian values. Now, let me tell you, we are moving into an age and into a period of time in what's called post-Christian America when those words have never been truer, that anyone who is serious about serving Christ will suffer persecution. Now, there is great merit in this type of suffering because it brings glory to God. Polycarp was burned at the stake in the second century. He was an old man, and his prayer before he was killed there, before he was martyred, is recorded for us. And these are the words that he prayed: "I bless thee for granting me this day and hour that I may be numbered amongst the martyrs to share the cup of thine anointed and to rise again unto everlasting life." His was a prayer of thanksgiving for the privilege, the exalted privilege, of suffering with Christ, of giving his life for the sake of his faith in Jesus. You know, in the book of Hebrews, those individuals that gave their life and were persecuted and who suffered for the sake of Christ, they were honored. Those who were faithful throughout the ages, in fact, because this looks back even through Old Testament times. And it says others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And then that last phrase is very telling. It says, the world was not worthy of them. There is great glory in suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. God honors such as suffer in this way. Now, James is going to teach us, and we're going to get into that next week. He's going to teach us that suffering, even persecution, even trials for the sake of Christ, can be dealt with joyfully. You can even face accidental trials and struggles joyfully. And James is going to explain how that can be done. But let me just share with you, in the time we have remaining, just a few of the blessings that are associated with suffering. Suffering, I don't think it's realistic to expect that we would ask God to bring suffering into our lives. I don't know any Christians that pursue suffering. And I don't think God expects us to have that kind of an attitude. But when it does come, and it will come of its own volition, when it does come, for us to accept it, and to accept it in a joyful way, knowing that it will bless us and benefit us, that's what God intends. Let me tell you what blessings are associated with suffering. First of all, it brightens the prospect of heaven. I have known many an individual who is their life advanced in years, and as they dealt with pain and suffering, longed for their release. The Apostle Paul longed for his release. He longed to go on and be with the Lord. And he talked about knowing that the day was near when the race would be complete for him. And so there is that prospect. You know, if we stayed young and healthy and vigorous and prosperous, who would ever want to go to heaven? I mean, we would all want to hang on to what we have. But because of the ravages of time and illnesses and sadnesses that come with advancing age, there comes within the heart of every Christian eventually this longing for something that's better. So it brightens the prospect of heaven. Well, secondly, it assures us of our salvation. Scripture is clear that all, not some, all who would live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And if you move through life and you're never persecuted, that might give you cause to wonder if you're living a genuine Christian life among those that you're around. So the fact that you experience this is simply an indicator that you are living for Jesus Christ. Thirdly, suffering makes us more useful in the service of our Lord. You know, as we deal with different trials and struggles through life, there is a wisdom that can only come through experiencing pain and sorrow. There is an empathy that is only found in the hearts of those who have been through some very difficult life experiences. And that's why occasionally I have called on some of you when I know of a need within this church family, and it's something that I've not myself experienced. I've from time to time called on some of you and said, could you get with this person, because you've been down that road and you know how that feels, and you will be able to minister to them far better than I could ever do. And so there's that blessing of being able to be useful to God because of the tragedies or experiences that we've been through in life. Fourthly, our sufferings in Christ result in an eternal reward. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, Jesus pronounced the blessing upon those who are persecuted in this way. He said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Fifthly, it encourages perseverance. In James 1, James tells us the testing of your faith develops perseverance. In Malachi spoke about the Levites who had been tested by God, and he said, therefore, he will be like a refiner's fire. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Remember the story in the Old Testament of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the fire because of their refusal to bow down before the golden image that the king had brought up there? And the furnace was heated 7 times hotter than normal, and they were bound with ropes, and they were thrown in. And the fire was so hot that the men who threw them into the furnace were overcome with the heat and died. And then the king looked in through the flames, and he said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed." Those men went through the fire, literally, for the sake of the God that they served. And it's interesting, the only thing that burned in that fire, and there was one thing, the only thing that burned in that fire, it was the ropes that bound them. You know what the world put on them burned, but their clothing was unsinged. There was not even the smell of smoke in their hair. You know, thank God for Christian suffering, because it makes us better people through this perseverance that we're able to develop. And then it glorifies God. Job went through all kinds of horrible ordeals, but he couldn't hear the conversation that was taking place in the heavenly courts as God was boasting to Satan about his servant. "Have you considered my faithful servant Job?" he said. "Just look at that boy. Look how he shines. No matter what you throw at him, no matter what happens, he comes through. He continues to trust me." And God looks good when we stand strong in the face of persecution. We reflect favorably upon our Father. He's glorified in that way. And then lastly, when we are put through the mill, when we're tried, when we struggle, when we suffer, that produces a union with Jesus Christ and His suffering. Now, this is mysterious, and I don't fully understand all of this, but I do know that that's what the Apostle Paul prayed for. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 10, Paul, the missionary who had lived faithfully, who had grown, who had been through so much, he prayed this prayer. He says, "I want to know Christ and the power of His rising, and I want to share in His suffering and conform to His death." I don't know if any of you have ever prayed that prayer or not. Have you ever prayed that you would like to share in the suffering of Jesus Christ? I know that that's what makes people and support groups feel a bond, an affinity, of closeness. We've got a cancer support group that meets here in this church family. And I know that those who have been through the battle with cancer share a special bond with other strugglers in their battle against that disease. And there is a closeness that develops among fellow sufferers in that way. We've got a mental health support group, and I know that those in that support group, or any support group, share a bond with those who face similar struggles in their journey through life. In suffering, a bond is created that nothing else can create. That's why these veterans groups that get together every year from previous wars are so important and so close-knit, because men who have been in the foxhole together, who've been through battle together, who've helped preserve one another's lives, those who go through those kinds of situations have a closeness that is hard to define. Do you want intimate fellowship with Jesus? Well, it will never be sweeter or closer to you than when you share in the sufferings because of Jesus Christ, in the same way that He had to suffer because of who He was. You know, in that fiery furnace, 3 men entered into the flames. But the king saw a 4th man walking around in the fire, and he said, "The 4th man is like a son of God." Let me just say this. When you get into the fire for Jesus, you get into the fire with Jesus. He's with you through your suffering. Anything you're called upon to do, He's already had to do and been through that. You know, I have seen others suffer in some pretty significant ways because of their faith. I feel like I've been called upon to do very little by the way of suffering. You may feel that way as well. I'm grateful for that at times, but when I see those who've gone through genuine suffering for the cause of Christ, I also see the blessing that goes with that. In Philippians chapter 1, there's a passage that I want us to close with. Philippians chapter 1, down in verses 29 and 30. Doug read this passage for us at the beginning. In the last two verses of that chapter, read thus: "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have." Paul said God has given you a gift, a twofold gift. He said He has given you the gift of belief, and He has given you the gift of suffering for Him. The next time you're called upon to suffer, and I anticipate you will in some way during the next 3 months if we carry out this spiritual boot camp approach to the book of James. If you're called upon to suffer, let me ask you to remind yourself that this is a gift from God designed to refine and to make you a better person, and that there is someone, some way, who will be blessed by your response to whatever comes your way. You know, that allows us to honestly, to genuinely look upon our struggles and our sufferings with joy, understanding the good that can and will come from them. You know, it's hard, and we've had those who've been called upon to go through incredible trials. It's hard to do that and to hold on at times, and so that's why those who are strong need to help support those who are weak, as was sung in one of our earlier songs tonight. And so tonight, as we close, we want to especially offer this time to anyone here who may be going through trials and going through suffering, experiencing difficulty, to allow us to support you through prayer. We'll gladly do that here as we close out this first day of the week. If you're here tonight and you are not a Christian, this is always an opportunity, an open invitation from the Lord to respond in faith to Him in order to be baptized. If you need to do that, you need to ask for prayer, we invite you to do that as we stand and as we sing.